A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. It's 6 minutes after 12. Ahead this hour, why the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks is bringing theater to the outdoors this week and why athletes from Senegal are in Northwest Arkansas this spring. Details ahead on today's show. After Ozarks, on Here and Now, a conversation with a man who's discovered a new appreciation for journalism after spending more than 500 days in an Iranian prison. Here and Now begins in about 54 minutes this afternoon on 91.3. An artist whose work was part of the state-of-the-art exhibition at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art is at the museum tonight to discuss how her sculpture is influenced by her Pittsburgh neighborhood. Vanessa German, winner of the 2018 Don Tyson Prize, will be at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville speaking at 7 tonight. She says as a citizen artist, she explores the power of art and love as a transformative force in the dynamic cultural ecosystem of communities and neighborhoods. She's the founder of Love Front Porch and The Art House, a community arts initiative for the children of Homewood, her neighborhood. Several German's artworks are also included in the Crystal Bridges permanent collection. She'll speak in the Great Hall. Tickets are $15. This is Ozarks at Large. We like to think each day on the show we study to some degree the Ozarks. Learning more about the Ozarks is also the goal of the new Ozarks Studies Association, formed to engage scholars and others interested in the region's history, science, and culture. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich explains.
The Ozark Studies Association was an idea of historian Brooks Blevins at a meeting of the annual Ozark Studies Symposium held annually in West Plains, Missouri, hosted by Missouri State University. Association spokesperson Jared Phillips is clinical assistant professor of international studies at the University of Arkansas.
And it's a real informal gathering. It's a couple of days, and academics and poets and community members, bands, whatever, we all just get together and hang out and have a good time talking about the Ozarks. And Brooks decided, and with a couple other people, that because there was so much kind of true scholarly work coming out about the Ozarks region as a whole, that it'd be a nice thing to have a centralizing force for us all.
Earlier this year, an organizing group of like-minded authors and scholars began to formulate the association.
The mission of the Ozark Studies Association is to provide a space where scholars and people who care about the Ozarks can come together and work to produce quality research, poetry, literature, whatever you name it, but that has kind of like a peer-reviewed quality about it, has a level of professionalism about it, in part because what we want to do is encourage high-quality understanding, high-quality inquiry, high-quality development of our cultural resources in the region, and in part to kind of push back against some of the stereotypical imagery of what the Ozarks is, and that we don't have histories of the Ozarks because we're not much different than Appalachia. We don't have poetry from the Ozarks because we're not much different than the South. We don't have conversations about race or immigration because we're not much different than the South, right? Well, the Ozarks is unique. It's a unique place culturally. It's a unique place in its history, and so what we're trying to do is create this space where we can really investigate and have critical inquiry into all these different things.
Take Jared Phillips, an Ozark native. He's author of Hipbillies, Deep Revolution in the Arkansas Ozarks, newly published by the University of Arkansas Press, which documents the Ozarks' back-to-the-land counterculture movement starting in the 1960s. Phillips says the association is open to historians like himself, as well as individuals who must have two qualifications.
One, you've got to have an undying, like, love and appreciation of the Ozarks. And two, you need to be willing to participate in critical inquiry. of the Ozarks. So we don't have a you don't have to have a PhD to be a member of it. You don't have to be a like a full-fledged academic or whatever. It's like many associations. So I'm a member of a couple different associations. None of them require that I have a certain kind of degree.
The association will draw members from the four-state Ozarks bioregion, he says.
The Ozarks as a plateau, as a geological unit, encompasses about four states. So the majority of the Ozarks is within Missouri. The Missouri Highlands, the next biggest portion, next largest portion will be in Arkansas, which is the part that's near and dear to my heart. And then there's a little bit over in Oklahoma, and a really tiny corner in the southeastern corner of Kansas. We can claim them as Ozarks.
The Ozark Studies Association will assemble for the first time Friday, May 17th at the Shallow Museum of Ozark History Meeting Hall for a conference. The topic? The history of the Buffalo River, which he says is not widely known.
When you look at the conference program, that's sort of what we're trying to begin to build in, this DNA of a multiple histories of the Ozarks. It's not just a history of white folks. It's not just a history of Cherokee or Osage removal or of the National Forest or anything like that. But it's the layering of histories that's part of what makes our region really quite unique.
The day-long conference, which is free, opens with coffee and registration at 8:30 a.m., and features 11 invited speakers, closing at 5:30 p.m.
Well, one of the ones I'm most excited about, actually, is our very first one. Dr. Andrea Hunter, she's a member of the Osage Nation, and she's, I think, the director of their Historic Preservation Office, and she's going to come over and talk about the Buffalo River as a native space. Another person I'm really excited to hear will be Steve Sitton, coming from the Thomas Hart Benton Home Historic Park up in Missouri. And I've heard Steve talk before about Thomas Hart Benton and the Buffalo River. And he gives a great presentation. But one of the things that I really like about it is it shows that the Ozarks are not removed from the national conversation of art, of sort of cosmopolitan ideas. Because you have this really renowned painter. He's one of my favorite painters. And he plays a really important PR role in the creation of the river as a national park.
Presentations will also be made on the Civil War on the Buffalo watershed, Ozark slavery and race, historic farming practices, Ozark artists, cultural resources on the watershed, ending with the battle over the ecological integrity of the Buffalo River, presented by Ozark's historian Brooks Blevins.
It'll be a great time. Brooks Blevins is going to keynote for us, and because he's Dr. Blevins, he's always interested in sparking a little bit of a controversial conversation. And so he's going to talk about understanding the buffalo in the context of controlling waterways what we do with people and what we do with these natural spaces.
The conference is also sponsored by the J. William Fulbright College and Diane Blair Center for Southern Studies at the University of Arkansas. Time will be set aside at lunch, Phillips says, for the Ozark Studies Association organizers to draft a constitution and bylaws, set dues, and establish a formal meeting schedule.
Right now, there's about 7 of us, I think, that are actively taking part in every single conversation, but there's about 20 of us that are on a larger email list that are a part of this broader conversation.
Key association organizing members include Missouri State West Plains History Professor Jason McCollum, Williams Baptist University Assistant History Professor Blake Williams, Brooks Blevins, Professor of History at Missouri State University Springfield, Jewish Studies Scholar Mara Cohen Ioannidis, also at MSU, Arkansas Tech University History Professor Kelly Houston Jones, English Professor and Poet John Hahn at Missouri Baptist, and last but not least, Shiloh Museum Outreach Coordinator Susan Young.
Right now, it's predominantly literature people and history people that are a part of it, but we really want that to expand. We want to see a greater inclusion of archaeologists, of biologists, ecologists. We want to see anthropologists becoming a part of this.
Because the association is still forming and has no digital presence, Jared Phillips invites interested Ozarkians to attend the founding conference or to contact him via email.
My email is jmp006@uark.edu. At the event, we're going to pass out information on the Ozark Studies Association, and you can sign up for emails, and we'll start to develop a newsletter. We're not going to publish a journal, like a formal print journal. We're taking inspiration from a couple of different spaces, like Southern Spaces and some of the Southern Women's History groups and associations like this, where they have online forums, online journals, and so that's what we're going to try to do. We think it'll be a little bit more mobile, both in that you can take it with you wherever you are, but we think it'll also help us be able to respond a little bit faster to different things like development pressure, or if we feel as the association we felt like we needed to make a statement about something, then we could do it immediately in that platform as opposed to having to wait for the quarterly journal to come out and then we're out of date.
The Ozark Studies Association supports the research, writing, teaching, critical thinking, and public discussion about the history, culture, and ecology of the Ozarks Plateau. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This spring, some athletes from Senegal are learning more about the Ozarks during a two-week residency in Northwest Arkansas. One day last week, the Senegalese athletes, who also happen to be educators, were playing soccer with students from the University of Arkansas at the Jones Center in Springdale. On the sideline, Mary Mulsicek, a professor of recreation and sport management at the U of A, took in the action. She says the game unfolding in front of us was using something called the sport education model.
The students learn leadership and character development through being a referee, through being the coach, through taking on each of those roles and rotating in.
A federal grant helped the 17 youth sports educators from Senegal come to Northwest Arkansas to learn more about integrating sport and health. The University of Arkansas students involved are, in turn, learning about putting together the events as hosts, and will visit Senegal in January to see the implementation of the programs. And Mulsicek says in the 2 weeks' time they're here, the visitors from West Africa will experience plenty.
Yesterday, the Senegalese learned pickleball, which they had never seen before, and today they learned kickball, which they had never seen before. Both things that are inexpensive enough to set up in their own country.
On the windy afternoon we visited during the soccer games at the Jones Center, everybody was taking turns playing, coaching, and officiating. This immersive approach, Mulsicek says, grants deeper understanding of the games and of the people involved in them.
One of the things about sport is there's competition, and as soon as there's competition, you can set up tournaments and develop the leadership and the refereeing. And when you have referees, people get upset at them for making a bad call. So you learn the sport better because you have to control it, and you learn how to deal with the conflict that happens when a referee makes a bad call. All of those are the same no matter what sport you're in.
Before the Senegalese visitors take off, they will have met with Camp War Eagle officials about after-school programs, visited local boxing instructors, discussed lifeguarding techniques in Bentonville, watched Arkansas baseball, and much more. Their visit lasts through the end of this week. And speaking of sport, the University of Arkansas men's golf team, ranked 37th in the country, begins play in the SEC Championships in Georgia today. 9 of the 14 teams at the SEC tournament are ranked in the nation's top 40. The Arkansas baseball team will return to SEC play Friday night, but first there is a 2-game series with Northwestern State in the middle of the week. Last night, Arkansas won the first game of that series 19-2. The weekend series with Tennessee will begin with a 6:30 game at Baum Stadium Friday night. And also Friday and Saturday, the Razorback track and field teams will host the National Relay Championships at John McDonald Field in Fayetteville.
The Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society presents the 21st annual KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series with jazz duo Kim Prevost and Bill Sawley, Sunday, May 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. This event, Jazz in Bloom, includes libations and hors d'oeuvres. Tickets and reserve tables available at digjazz.com. Fayetteville Public Library presents An Evening with Khaled Hosseini, Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m. Hosseini, author of the New York Times bestseller The Kite Runner, is one of the world's most widely read authors, having sold more than 50 million books worldwide. KUAF's Kyle Kellums will interview Hosseini regarding his life and his newest book, Sea Prayer. The event is free and open to the public. FAYLIB.org for more information.
A new American Red Cross survey finds roughly 2 in 5 people think it's more likely they'll win the lottery than lose their home in a fire. However, the reality is home fires kill an average of 7 people each day. In 2018, the Northwest Arkansas chapter of the American Red Cross responded to 275 home fires. So far this year, local Red Cross volunteers have helped 251 people recover from these emergencies. To reduce the risk of death during a fire, the Northwest Arkansas chapter of the American Red Cross is joining 7 other chapters in Missouri and Arkansas in the Sound the Alarm Mission Campaign. As part of this effort, volunteers will install free smoke alarms in homes. Last week, Carl Liu, the AmeriCorps Disaster Preparedness Lead for the Northwest Arkansas Chapter of the American Red Cross, came to Studio 123 to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about the initiative.
I don't think there's a recognition generally that home fires are such a common personal disaster. When you think of disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, those big natural occurrences seem to be what dominate people's minds. But, you know, a home fire can be anything from just, you know, faulty electric to, you know, stove being left on too long. It's very personal, too. I mean, it's your house. You don't want to think about that being burned to the ground. And obviously there's the, you know, the human toll that can take and the deaths that can be, that can be a part of that.
So the survey shows that people don't think it's as common as maybe perhaps it is here in Northwest Arkansas. The American Red Cross responded to 275 fires last year.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, and we respond pretty frequently locally. Within the last month, there have been a handful. I know the Northwest Arkansas chapter, mm-hmm. our disaster action team, they respond to more home fires than anywhere else, any other Red Cross branch in the country.
Really?
Yeah. And so I don't know what it is particularly about Northwest Arkansas, but it is very common here. And so that's a large part why we're trying to push this home fire campaign so much, because having a smoke alarm in your house can at least mitigate the risk of death going forward. You can be alerted and you have 2 minutes to get out of your house generally. And so any advance warning that you can have that something's wrong can get you out of the house, alert authorities, and hopefully, you know, save part of your house too before the fire spreads and gets too large.
So as part of this campaign, you're going to be installing around 300, or you're offering at least 300 free smoke detectors to folks in the area.
Yeah, for Sound the Alarm, those two specific events on Friday the 26th, we'll be in Lowell from 8:30 to 4 o'clock, and we'll be in Bentonville that following Saturday, same time, 8:30 to 4. And we'll have canvassing going through, letting people know that we'll be in the area so they can, you know look for us if they're around, if they're available. And the goal for those days are to install 300 smoke alarms in the two mm-hmm. locations. This feeds into a larger goal. Our goal is to install 1,600 in the Northwest Arkansas region, you know, by the end of June, the end of the fiscal year. So we're trying to push this as much as we can. Anybody who wants to sign up can go to getasmokealarm.org. You can also call the Red Cross, 1-800-RED-CROSS, and it'll direct you to our Rogers office, and we can get you on the list, let you know that we've received your request, and then we'll have a team of volunteers getting in touch with you to schedule the installation.
And so as I schedule this installation, I can schedule during these times that you'll be out?
Yeah. The Sound the Alarm events, those are kind of us just hitting the pavement and going around.
Knocking on doors.
Yeah. And you can sign up in advance, and we do encourage that so we know who's signing up. But we will be in those locations with teams of volunteers. Otherwise, if you don't live in either of those two areas or you won't be around those 2 days, you can sign up, as I mentioned, getasmokealarm.org. Just ask for your name, address, phone number, email if you have it, so we can get in touch with you. We know where to go, where we send our volunteers. And, you know, a team of background-checked Red Cross volunteers will come. They'll educate the residents about home fire safety. The kind of two-minute rule to get out of the house. They'll test the smoke alarm, show you how to test the batteries, which should last for 10 years, but you want to test them every 6 months or so just to make sure that they're still working. And then also we encourage residents to create a fire safety plan. We provide a form with a grid on it so you can draw your house and see where the exits are, and so you can plan out those two exits that'll get you out of your house safely. And we also educate about other disasters too. Tornadoes, obviously being common here, are the main ones that we focus on. Yeah, the installation is a free service. We do it we do it for the residents. We just go in and we fill out a form on our end just to, you know, keep track of the smoke alarms that we've installed. People can, if they want us to follow up with them, they can provide their contact info so we can be in touch in the future. That's totally optional. And we also, for people who are hard of hearing, we have what are called bed shaker alarms. And they look basically like an alarm clock. They sit on your bedside table and have a clock on there. And then there's a vibrator that goes under your pillow. And when the smoke alarm is triggered anywhere in the house, it sends a signal to the bedside alarm, and that triggers the, you know, the shaker, and that'll wake you up that way. So if you can't hear the actual buzzing and dinging of the alarm, which are quite loud, but if you don't hear that, it'll at least, you know, kind of shake you awake.
Thank you for talking with us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was Carl Liu, the AmeriCorps Disaster Preparedness Lead for the Northwest Arkansas Chapter of the American Red Cross. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda at the Carver Center for Public Radio last week. The Sound the Alarm Mission Campaign, which is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, includes two smoke alarm installation events from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. April 26th and 27th. That's Friday and Saturday. You can register for a free installation at getasmokealarm.org. The Beaver Watershed Alliance will host a workshop about forest and wildlife management Saturday from 9:30 to 2 at Artex Ranch in Fayetteville. Topics covered will include timber improvement practices and dirt road management. The workshop is free. It's open to the public. Lunch is provided. If you'd like to find out more or register, you can send an email to info@beaverwatershedalliance.org.
And welcome to the Harold and Blanche Koch News Studio. It is Wednesday, time for the live music preview with Timothy Dennis. Timothy, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, Kyle.
Let's get to it.
Today is Wednesday, which means tonight is Jazz Night at Weston Watson.
All right.
It's in Fayetteville. It's every week, every Wednesday night. It features local jazz musicians, some instructors, some students from the U of A, in a relaxing atmosphere. It's really good stuff. Starts at 8 p.m. Again, that's at Weston Watson tonight in Fayetteville. Moving on, tomorrow night, Dixon Street Pub is going to have an artist by the name of Ponce.
Okay.
They are a Nashville-based rock duo of twin brothers, and they have a sound that kind of, it would be at home with the pop rock of the 80s. I get my hand stamped, room full of spirits and American crew. But then I catch you like a shooting star, halfway up the dance floor, not too far. Myself that it can't be true. See you looking at me, see me looking at you, and the last they will be joined on that bill by Indianapolis-based pop rocker Tommy Icarus.
All right.
That show at Dixon Street Pub gets underway tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m.
Sounds good.
Also happening tomorrow night, but at Wright's Barbecue in Johnson, Truman Railboys will be on stage.
We've had them in the Carver Center for Public Radio.
At least a couple times.
Yeah.
They don't play around as much as they used to, so catch them while you can. They're a fantastic folk band. Picking that card and swinging that ass. Working all day, no time to relax. Been that way since the day of his birth. Working man, he's a salt. That show at Wright's Barbecue tomorrow night begins at 8:30 p.m. Moving on to Friday night, Kingfish is going to have Jenna and the Soul Shakers.
Right.
Kingfish, obviously in Fayetteville. Jenna and the Soul Shakers, if you're not aware, they're a local soul, blues, and funk four-piece band.
And that'll be under the covered stage, but you, the music aficionado, will be out in the elements.
Exactly.
Out
and
enjoying spring.
I mean, of course, if it's raining, definitely check and make sure it's not been canceled.
Right.
That gets underway at 8 o'clock Friday night. Again, that's at Kingfish in Fayetteville. Also happening in Fayetteville Friday night, State House Electric will be at Nines Alley. Mm-hmm. They are a wonderful acoustic Americana duo from Northwest Arkansas. That show at Nines Alley gets underway at 8 o'clock Friday night. Also happening Friday night, but up in Rogers, Brick Street Brews will have Sarah Lothan.
Oh, good.
She's a fantastic local singer-songwriter. She's got an incredible voice. Go check her out.
It's late in the night and all the lights in the kitchen are burning bright. But no one's coming home. No, not tonight. My door is open wide and all my girls are sleeping safe inside. Baggy bloodshot eyes.
That show at Brick Street Brews gets underway at 7 o'clock Friday night. Now, here's a show that you will be interested in.
Okay. Well, I like some of the others
no,
we've already
particularly
talked about.
Okay. All right. Interested
okay.
in. Creekside Taproom in Siloam Springs is going to have one of your favorites, Carter Sampson.
Oh, my goodness.
Joined by Joe Mack.
Oh, what a show.
Yeah. What would you say about Carter Sampson?
Carter Sampson is an amazing songwriter, an amazing
yes.
vocalist.
Yes.
I'll just tell you that I once put one of her CDs in, and someone was in the car with me, and they thought it was, you know, someone they should know about from Nashville. She's
half of that statement is correct.
Yes, they should know about her.
Yes.
She's not from Nashville. She's from Oklahoma, and she's just she's an amazing songwriter.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. That is going to be one heck of a show. It gets underway at 7 o'clock. That's Friday night over in Siloam Springs at Creekside Tap Room. Then down in Fort Smith Friday night, Harry's Downtown is going to have Jesse Dean and company.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, fantastic blues rock from Winslow. That show at Harry's Friday night has a $5 cover. It will get underway at 9 o'clock. Okay, moving on to Saturday night. George's Majestic Lounge is going to welcome back Big Smith with Jesse Dean.
Right, so check on tickets.
Check on tickets.
Big Smith comes to Dixon Street.
Right. In fact, they said their reunion show they had in December was so well received that they decided to do it again, hence this show.
Okay.
Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 day of. Gets underway at 9 o'clock. Again, that's George's in Fayetteville Saturday night. Also happening in Fayetteville Saturday night, Nomads is going to have quite a bill. They're going to have William Pierce, who I mentioned earlier. He is a Fayetteville-based indie rock artist. Also on that bill will be Honey Collective, which is a lo-fi jazz collective, some members of which play with local singer-songwriter Becky Adams,
right.
who we'll hear from in a couple weeks on Ozarks. Also on that bill is Nathan Owens, who's a Fayetteville-based singer-songwriter.
That is a heck of a bill.
Tickets for that show are $5 at the door.
Oh my goodness,
yeah,
that's
a lot of music for not a lot of money. It gets underway at 8 o'clock. Again, that's Saturday night at Nomads in Fayetteville. Still happening Saturday night, but over in Eureka Springs, a guy by the name of Kurt Hunter will be at Brews. He's a California-based singer-songwriter. He sounds very much adult contemporary. Think Jason Mraz.
Okay. All right.
There are blankets laid out on the ground and not another soul around at a picnic just for two. And even though I'm nervous to ask it.
That show at Brews Saturday night gets underway at 7 o'clock. Another show in Eureka Springs Saturday night, another one that you'll be interested in, Opal Fly returns to Northwest Arkansas.
Oh my gosh, an embarrassment of riches in Eureka Springs Saturday night.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
If you're not aware, Opal used to live here.
In Eureka, right?
In Eureka.
Right.
She also had the Feel Good Lounge on Center Street.
That's absolutely right.
But she moved to Indiana. Now her new band, Opal Flying Kapow, is focusing on, and I quote, electro-acoustic ragamuffunk jazz.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it changes that quick. Just by stepping back and giving your words a rest. I see that girl in the corner. Ooh, she makes herself feel good. She's got the power.
That show at Chelsea's Saturday night gets underway at 8:30 p.m. Now, you're going to have to book it if you want to catch this next one. I know you will.
Okay.
Harry's Downtown Saturday night is going to have O.C. Fisher.
I can't hit all of these. You're giving me too much. I can't do all of this. Okay, O.C. Fisher at Harry's Downtown. That'll be worth a drive.
She's a fantastic vocalist from Northwest Arkansas. She performs with Divas on Fire and with her own band, which will perform Saturday night. That show at Harry's Downtown has a $5 cover. It will get underway at 9 o'clock. Again, that's Saturday night. Now, moving on to Sunday, the Walmart Amp in Rogers is going to have Santana.
As in Carlos.
Yes, Carlos. Yeah. He's the man with the guitar that squealed for 50 years plus, and it's also the band where everyone gets a solo.
Well, they deserve one.
They do. Tickets for that show Sunday start at $42.50. The show will get underway at 7:30 p.m. Again, that's the Walmart Amp in Rogers.
That is a heck of a weekend. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you.
And yet, still more music in April. The University of Arkansas White Concert Band and Symphonic Band will perform an end-of-semester concert Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on campus, then the Red Concert Band, New Music Ensemble, and Wind Symphony close out the spring semester performances with a concert Tuesday night, the 30th, at 7:30. That's also in the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the U of A campus.
This is Reflections in Black, and I'm your host, Raven Cook. Reflections in Black is a segment dedicated to exploring the legacy of Black Americans in the United States and around the globe. Reflections in Black also provides resources for understanding and hope for all people. Josephine St. Pierre was born August 31, 1842, to a leading Boston family. Her father was the founder of Boston Zion Church and was originally from the island of Martinique, and her mother was an English-born white woman. The St. Pierres sought out the best educational opportunities for their daughter and sent her to Salem, Massachusetts, where the schools were integrated from the efforts of the 19th-century abolitionist John Lennox Redmond. At the age of 15, Josephine married George Ruffin, America's first Black Harvard Law School graduate. George Ruffin would go on to become the first Black municipal judge in Boston, as well as sit on the Boston City Council and act as a representative in the Massachusetts State Senate. Mrs. Josephine Ruffin would graduate from a Boston finishing school and then go on for an additional 2 years of private tutoring. The Civil War would create a moment where many were called to serve through charity and organizational efforts. The Ruffins would hear the call and act, leading to important relationships, including connections for Mrs. Josephine Ruffin to Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Throughout the late 19th century, Josephine St. Pierre would play a critical role in building the Black Women's Club movement. She would become editor of the Women's Era newspaper, the first newspaper edited by a Black woman, and would partner with her daughter, Florida Riley, and a local Boston school principal, Maria Baldwin, to start the organization, the Women's Era Club. Ruffin was also involved, as much as she could participate, in learning from white women's organizations and the strategies she would then take to mobilize the Black women's organizations. In 1895, she put together the first Black Women's Convention, which drew 100 women from 20 different organizations. The convention created an umbrella organization known as the National Federation of African American Women, A year later, the organization would then be called the Colored Women's League, before finally taking on the name the National Association for Colored Women in 1896. The National Association for Colored Women would work tirelessly to reclaim the dignity of Black womanhood, denied through slavery and minstrelsy, and seek to mobilize Black women as active participants in local, state, and national politics. Josephine St. Pierre would serve as one of the presidents and would continue to act as a light and voice for Black women in America, in a time where Black women's voices were not represented in the women's movement. She would pass away March 13, 1924, but her life and service are finding a voice among young Black female scholars and activists today. Today, we celebrate the incredible life and legacy of the powerful Ms. Josephine St. Pierre Ruffin.
Reflections in Black is a production of KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville. You can hear weekly segments on Ozarks at Large, and you can learn more about this program online at KUAF.com. Just search for Reflections in Black.
This is a Wednesday edition of Ozarks at Large. Remember, you can listen to us on your schedule as well. Podcasts of our programs can be found at Stitcher, iTunes, and other services where podcasts hang out. The subscription, free.
KUAF is supported by Rituals Coffee and Beer Fest, hosted by Onyx Coffee Lab and Ozark Beer Company. Rituals Fest is Saturday, May 4th at the Venue 718 in downtown Rogers. Guests will be exposed to over 15 breweries and 7 roasters, mostly not distributed in Arkansas. 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. sessions will be offered. OzarkBeerCompany.com/events for tickets. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra welcomes the return of concert cellist and recording artist Allison Eldridge Saturday, April 27th at 7 p.m. in the Bentonville West Performing Arts Center. Miss Eldridge will perform the Grammy Award-winning Tales of Hemingway Concerto for Cello and Orchestra, recently written by American composer Michael Dougherty. ArkansasPhilharmonic.org for tickets and more information. The Bentonville Film Festival and VisitBentonville.com present the 5th annual Bentonville Film Festival, May 7th through the 11th. Attendees will enjoy film screenings, panel discussions, community events, free movies in the park, biking, and more. BentonvilleFilmFestival.com for tickets and information.
The KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series is approaching, and it begins at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. Robert Ginsberg has put together the series for a 21st summer, and in just a couple of minutes, he'll be with us for a preview. The BGO certainly stays busy in spring and summer. For a second year, the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks will partner with Arts Live Theater to host a series of plays throughout the garden during the Earth Theater Festival Saturday.
They're the ones that kind of came up with the name and wanted to include the theatrical arts as well as some arts and crafts and some activities that the kids will get to engage in themselves and maybe test out their theatrical side.
That's BGO Education and Outreach Assistant Brooke Blanton. She says the actors from the nonprofit youth theater company will perform 15 to 20-minute snippets from The Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, Peggy the Pirate, and Tom Sawyer. Each show will run 6 times from 3 to 7. Different parts of the garden will serve as stages.
I believe that a garden is just a tapestry of art in a whole nother level that is always changing. So it's very inspiring for these actresses and actors to come out and showcase their talent in a beautiful scene. And I believe the audience is also going to be very inspired just to be in a calming, healing and atmosphere.
Blanton says there will also be a sneak peek performance of an upcoming Arts Live Theater show called Junie B. Jones to wrap up the evening, as well as an assortment of other activities.
There will be booths and tables spread out throughout the whole grounds at the gardens, including some food trucks in the back that you can purchase food. So it'll be throughout the whole entire gardens with a detailed map so everyone will know which direction to go.
Advanced tickets can be purchased at bgozarks.org. $12 for adults, $8 for children. Day of, Blanton says tickets will be $15 for adults and $10 for children. Children under the age of 3 get in free.
I think it's really wonderful for the whole family to experience because there's teenagers in the plays, but, you know, younger siblings will be coming to enjoy the activities. So it's quite the wide range. I mean, all the way from preschool up to teenagers is what I think would enjoy. And we have a lot of actual local teenagers coming to volunteer their time and engage families in theatrical arts and crafts and really be a part of this artistic movement that's happening here in Northwest Arkansas.
And by the way, the Garden Member Only Plant Sale is held the day before Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Members will be treated to the first pick of plants as well as light refreshments. Then Saturday, gates for the Earth Theater Festival open at 2. That's after the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks public plant sale, which Blanton says is open from 8 until noon.
We have different herbs and vegetables, unique plants that you can't find at regular, big box shops, possibly succulents and unique things that you can't find other places.
Botanical Garden of the Ozarks Education and Outreach Assistant Brooke Blanton talking about the BGO Earth Theater that takes place Saturday. And now with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Robert Ginsburg. Oh, boy. Your business card would take like a long piece of construction paper because you are the host of Shades of Jazz on 91.3 KUAF every Friday night at 10. You are the founder, president, CEO, and a lot of other things with the Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society.
Don't mention those.
And there are other things that I could mention. But usually when you're here, as is the case this time, you're here to talk about jazz.
Well, Kyle, you know what time it is. It's the 21st annual KUAF Summer Jazz Concert season about to begin. 21 years.
The 21st, and it's a full calendar.
Five concerts, and this, of course, presented by the Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society. We've been, really, the Jazz Society started the same year as the Walton Arts Center opened up. It's been affiliated with KUAF from the very beginning. And so we're 21 seasons into this concert series that is produced by Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society. And, of course, KUAF is our naming sponsor and biggest promoter. This season is also going to kind of spotlight the opening event, which is our annual celebration of spring and jazz, and that's Jazz in Bloom out of the Botanical Gardens. But we're also taking the series all over Northwest Arkansas and collaborating with some great institutions. So it's an exciting year.
All right. As the summer unfolds, we'll talk about the concerts individually. Give an overview right now. I know that it starts with Jazz in Bloom, which is the first weekend of May.
May 5th, and that's at the Botanical Gardens, full bloom, under the tents, great food provided by Spring Street Grill, libations by Liquor World, great music this year with a couple who, for those of you who are familiar with Tuck and Patty, this group is so reminiscent of that. It's a husband and wife. Guitar and voice only, but he plays a 7-string guitar, so the upper strings are bass strings, and he's an amazing guitarist. And she sings.
I fell in love with you the first time I looked into all them their eyes. You got a certain little cute way of flirting with all them their eyes. They make me feel happy. They make me feel so
Bill Pyborn of Fingerstyle magazine considers Bill Solly as one of the greatest fingerstyle guitarists on the planet.
Oh.
So it sounds like two guitars and voice. And they've been around. Kim Prevost and Bill Solly have toured the world. They've played Umbria Jazz on several occasions. They have numerous recordings. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's under the tent. It's all table seating. Great food, great music. And this concert really is a fundraiser for the Summer Jazz Scholarship Program. Every year, the Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society awards scholarships to music students who want to further their study in jazz. And we do tuition scholarships for the Jamie Abersold Summer Jazz Study Camp. So that's the proceeds will go to that for this kickoff event.
Fans of early bedtimes will love this show, too.
It is an sort of a afternoon show, 3 yeah. o'clock till 6 p.m., and it's a lot of fun. It really is. You know, we pray for good weather always every year. Any outdoor event, you're tempting the gods. But when it's nice, it certainly is nice. And it's just a wonderful event in this season of what has always been my favorite season in Northwest Arkansas. Spring is just so delightful.
And that will be May 5th, starts at 3 at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks.
And there's still tickets, table seats available at digjazz.com.
All right, let's give some sneak previews of the other four that will take place throughout the summer.
In June, this season is very guitar heavy. And
there's not a problem with that from this end.
No, I don't think so either. I love the brass instruments. I love the reed instruments. But certainly guitars are the most ubiquitous instrument among music lovers, I think, in the United States. So in June, we have one of the premier guitarists, a gentleman named Jonathan Kreisberg. And he's not only known as a leader, but he's been a revered sideman with a lot of great artists like Dr. Lonnie Smith, the Hammond B3 organist, and he's actually appeared here before, but never with his own group. So Jonathan Kreisberg will be coming in with his trio in June, and that will be at Sunrise Guitar. There'll be a workshop connected to that, and that's June 22nd. July 27th, we're going to be collaborating with Roots and Crystal Bridges to co-produce another event in their Forest series. And this time, we're bringing back someone who originally appeared in Northwest Arkansas as part of the Walton Arts Center's Starlight Jazz series years ago. And last year, he was actually here with his trio as part of Roots Festival, and now Jazz Society is bringing him in collaboration with Roots and Crystal Bridges, and that's Charlie Hunter's trio.
And this is just going to be fantastic.
Oh, out in the forest at Crystal Bridges, it'll be a blast. Charlie is kind of a chameleon of an artist in that he covers, he's a great jazz player, but he also has a vocalist with him and this amazing percussionist, Keita Ogawa. And it's really a mashup of jazz, roots, blues, soul. It'll be fun. I do want to put in a little plug for Keita. Keita
yes.
Ogawa is the percussionist. It's K-E-I-T-A-O-K-A-W-A. And if you Google Keita Ogawa pigs, you will have the time of your life. This is a percussionist. I'm not going to say any more about it. But he's a percussionist who makes music from everything that's around him.
Awesome. All right, that is July 27th. Then in August, at the end of August, the Hispanic All-Stars will be in Springdale.
That's right. This is a group right out of the Mission District in San Francisco. And it's this mashup of Latin, salsa, jazz, even a little hip-hop. And we're doing this at the Arts Center, and it's going to be kind of a dance party, table seating as well. I'm really looking forward to it. We have never had a KUAF Summer Jazz concert at ACO.
Yeah, I want to make sure when people hear Arts Center, this is Arts Center of the Ozarks in downtown Springdale.
That's
yeah.
right. And I'm really looking forward to working with them and bringing this really fun band. And there's info about the Hispanic All-Stars online if you're interested.
That's August 30th. Then September 7th, the final event in the Summer Jazz Concert Series. This will take place on the square in Fayetteville.
Right, at Roots HQ in the old Geisinger Piano Music Building on the corner there. And this is another collaboration with Oxford American. The Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society is collaborating, of course, with KUAF and Oxford American and Roots. And we're hoping to do two shows. That room is so intimate. It only seats about 80 people. And we have two internationally renowned jazz stars. Peter Martin is a jazz pianist, composer, band leader of renown. He has his own group, his own trio, his own quartet, but he's teaming up to do a duo concert with one of the premier guitarists from Brazil, Romero Lubambo, who has actually appeared here in the past as part of Kenny Barron's trio and also with a group called Brazilian Voyage. It'll be a really, it'll be like in someone's living room, very intimate piano, guitar in that beautiful wooden hall at the Roots headquarters.
Well, the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series, old enough to drink now. We need to come up with a signature cocktail.
And vote.
And, well, that happened a few years ago, right?
Well, this is the 21st season for the KUAF Summer.
Right. So you can drink, but you could have voted a while
back. Oh, that's right, 18. Yeah. I'm getting confused.
We need to have a signature cocktail. What would the ingredients of the official cocktail of the Summer Jazz Concert Series include?
Wow. A healthy dose of hipness.
I like that. Well, we'll talk about that as the summer progresses. We'll come up with our cocktail recipe.
Let's work on it, Kyle.
All right. Digjazz.com for more info.
And tickets. Thank you.
Fayetteville Public Library presents An Evening with Khaled Hosseini, Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m. Hosseini, author of the New York Times bestseller The Kite Runner, is one of the world's most widely read authors, having sold more than 50 million books worldwide. KUAF's Kyle Kellums will interview Hosseini regarding his life and his newest book, Sea Prayer. The event is free and open to the public. FAYLIB.org for more information. Support for KUAF comes from the Walmart Museum and the Wall That Heals, on display in the Buckyball Field at Crystal Bridges from May 23rd to the 27th. This three-quarter scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., and Mobile Education Center are free and will welcome visitors 24/7. DowntownBentonville.org/wall to learn more about the Wall That Heals.
And contributors to the show this Wednesday included Antoinette Grajeda, Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis, and Zuzanna Sitek, who brought us details of the BGO Earth Theater Festival. Thanks to Robert Ginsberg, host of Shades of Jazz, every Friday night at 10 on 91.3, for coming by to offer a preview of the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series. Our theme for Ozarks at Large, written and performed by Daryl Sean. You can find out much more at darylsean.com. And his new album is titled Safe in Sound, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF. Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Huntsville. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. Antoinette Grajeda also curates the music we often use at the end of our shows. Today, she has picked Arkansas and their song, Halfway Home, recorded just for us at the Carver Center for Public Radio. They'll play at George's Majestic Lounge May 4th. Thanks for being with us. I'm Kyle Kellums. Back tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m.
And I'm already halfway home. Wreck my mind in the mountains. Trying to write a song home. With a purpose in my heart and a hatchet in my hands. And I'm already halfway home. In my hands, and I'm already halfway in my hands, and I'm already halfway home. Yes, I'm already halfway home. Well, I'm already halfway home.